Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wrestle Talk across the country, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you, as we're waiting for Smoking Jim Frazier to join us out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as well, this is one heck of a show. 347-205-9631 will get you to the front of the stage. Anything after that, it's archived. Catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Ralph, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, a lot to talk about till we get Jim in here.
Oh, absolutely, Mark, and it's the big show, and you know it. And you can get a hold of me at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com. You can also catch my archive shows on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Facebook, Wimkin. I'm back on Wimkin and Twitter. And also don't forget to, like I said, subscribe. I've got some new subscribers. I got three more on my YouTube page since last week, so that's great. So that means everyone's watching some of my other shows.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, a lot to talk about. We were on the Tampa show with Peter Blake yesterday. Props to Peter Blake, tearing it up down there. Man, oh, man, that was exciting. We had a lot of news to talk about, AEW, NXT, WWE. Got a big pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if it's going down. What's your thoughts on that? I know we shared it in Tampa. I'm not for this thing, going to a foreign country where, you know, it. Who knows how much your safety is going to be protected. But I know we broke it down there. You thought, you know, let's get on with the show. Peter and I thought, maybe we better look at this a little more.
Yeah, you know, I think I should go on with the show. Because what happens here, Mark, is when you play chicken, they're going to think you're always chicken. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I think we should have the show. I think the Saudis will have proper security involved in this. But we'll see. We still got close to another, 36 hours before this comes on. They might cancel it 5 minutes before it comes on. I mean, you know, we don't know yet. But, you know, I say we have to stop being afraid, Mark. And that's what the biggest problem is here with this. You know, let's quit being afraid. Let's put it on. Let's tell the Iranians where to eat it. You know what I mean? And let's put it on with the Saudis, and let's let this thing happen. And, you know, I believe that the safety is going to be where it needs to be. I have some things I want to go over real first here before we really get started. I have some news, some notes, and some latest things. NXT released some guys. They said they were underproductive. Rami Hayworth was released, and they said he was released because of bad behavior. Sloane Jacobs, Eric Yan, Wu Feng, Demarius Griffin, and they were released because of lack of production. I guess Shawn Michaels and Triple H thought that they weren't doing a whole lot. Possible cancellation of Crown Jewel, we have just discussed. Vince McMahon, we'll get this now. He is being investigated by his own board of the WWE, Mark, for hush money that he gave to certain people in the company, not to say anything in these court hearings involving his things that he was doing. So that is happening.
Wow. And
AEW Full Gears, November 19th, main event, Jon Moxley versus MJF. More drama in the locker room, as we have discussed. ROH returning as a separate entity. That is a definite go. They're trying to find a TV network. As soon as they do, Tony Khan, I think that's why, and Jeff Jarrett, you and Peter and I discussed this last night. Jeff Jarrett is on AEW. He is the new head of business management for AEW. So he made his one appearance, and that was it. And then we had discussed about Colt Cabana making a return last night as well. So we could talk about the Crown Jewel coming up Saturday, Mark. What's your thoughts on the card? And they added two more matches to it. I don't know if you're aware. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about right off the bat. I'd like to finish up on the Vince McMahon thing. That's pretty damn interesting, if you ask me. I mean, we've seen this before, and somebody's not taking the bait on it. They're saying basically the money doesn't mean too much to me. We're going to, take this and let everybody get exposed for what they really are. That's the shocker in itself there, But, it's going to be very interesting, and I know we talk sports later on in the shows here, but who's going to fall first, Daniel Snyder or Vince McMahon?
Well, I think Vince McMahon's going to fall first, I would think. But for his own board, I mean, we're talking about the board of directors of a public company, the WWE. They are a public company. You and I can buy stock, Mark, if we want. You see, that's how public this company is. And the interesting thing about it is I know the board has to answer the shareholders. So I'm sure the shareholders want to know what's going on. And when they find out that he had given out hush money to some people within the company and wrestlers to keep their mouths closed, because not to disclose his activities with these women, the sexual activity and whatever he's accused of doing, this is something else, and this is just another black eye in the reputation of Vince McMahon. And I hate to say this, Mark, but he's like up in his like 70s, early 80s maybe, and right. I feel bad for him because he's as old as he is. He built an empire, and now he has to give up the empire because he screwed up. And, you and I had talked many times about how, what's Vince McMahon thinking? What's he doing? He had all this stuff going on. Think about that, Mark.
Well, not only that, we've got Smoking Jim Frazier in the house, and he's dusting the Philly stuff out of his hair and stuff, off his clothes, leaving Philadelphia behind. And I will tell you this. I'm eating a dead crow, and I'm throwing it out of my mouth, too. Only Ralph saw this thing coming. I really thought the Steelers were going to go into Philly and beat them, Smoking Jim. I didn't want the 11 points, but, man, oh, man, if the thing just lasted for at least two quarters, we would have had a chance.
I bet the house on Philadelphia, so I ended up winning a bunch of money, and that's the only good part.
Hey, Mark.
Well, bad times in the burg right now, guys, and I don't know what has happened to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Ever since they got out of Columbus to start that road trip, they have hit the wall when they took that two-goal lead against Edmonton on that Monday night, lost. Basically, it was a shootout at the OK Corral. It catapulted in Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle, came back home, blew it against Boston, and then went to Buffalo last night and laid an egg. This is a team that better take it out tomorrow on Seattle, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. They even lost to Seattle, Mark, and that's a sad situation. Here's the thing that bothers me about this, Mark and Smoking Jim. I didn't think this was going to start already with the Penguins. What I thought was going to happen was they have all these older players, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I thought they would at least get through the first part of the season, and then at the end of the season, as they always are, either their senior players are either hurt or they're tired out. They look like they're tired already, and the season hasn't even – I mean, the season's still young yet. So if they're tired now, oh, this is going to be a long season.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw it last year, guys. I mean, Crosby came back a month into the season. Malkin came like 3 months into the season. I thought, man, this team's going to do some damage, man. They got fresh legs heading down to the stretch run, and then, you know, the series against the Rangers taking a 3-1 lead and falling apart on that one was unbelievable. And then you see what's going on in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. This is 2-6. And let me tell you, even if you win 4 in a row, you're still at the Mendoza line. That's not good enough in the AFC. That might be good enough in the NFC. I think their season's lost, and we haven't even got the last 8 games in here.
Smoke and Jim, go ahead. I'll let you start.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. You're 100% right. Even if they go on to a, you know, they got a soft spot of the schedule coming up after the bye week. Even if they run 4 in a row, you know, that's not going to do nothing. The AFC is so tough and competitive. The best teams are over there. And, yeah, so it may get them you know, some traction in their division, which will get you in the playoffs. But, I agree with you.
Well, and Ralph, as I give it over to you, the only thing that's stopping them from getting completely buried is Baltimore has lost 3 games, and you put that on there, you flip that around, that they would be looking at, man, and pretty much as an undefeated season so far.
Well, you know what? The only team that's beating the Steelers is the Steelers are beating themselves. You come and look, take a look at these games, Mark and Smoke and Jim. Take a look at every game that they've played. Penalties, mistakes, fumbling the football, turnovers, defense not doing their job. I mean, it's all across the whole team, and they're beating themselves. And I've said this 1,000 times over, and I'll say it another 1,000,000 times over. When you beat yourself, you're not going to win anything. And that's exactly what they've been doing. And it has just continued, and now it's spiraled so far downhill that I don't think Mike Tomlin can even get this team back up in order. If he does,
well, let me get some questions. James coming in from Squirrel Hill basically says, guys, I like this. A little Matt talk, Berg brethren, and people getting bashed across the rivers. What about the Panthers, guys? What the hell's going on with the Pittsburgh Panthers? Yeah, James, you're absolutely right. I don't know what the heck is going on. Georgia Tech came in our backyard and beat us, and they just can't seem to put 4 quarters together. They looked miserable the last game. I mean, I don't. This team doesn't look good, man. Against North Carolina, they didn't look good at all. And I'll give it over to you, Ralph, first. You cover them, and then I'll give it to Smoke and Jim. But this is a team that everybody was projected wide open. They can win the Coastal Conference. Man, oh, man, the wheels have fallen off the wagon.
Well, first of all, I had an expert reporter who's been covering Pitt for many years, Jerry DePaulo, on our podcast. I had him on first before Smoke and Jim came on with me at the beginning of the season. And he told me Pitt's going to look good, not great. They got a new offensive coordinator, Frank Cignetti. He was with Boston College, several other teams, college and pros. Okay. He coached back when Wonstadt was the coach of Pitt. All right. When Wonstadt got fired, Cignetti had to move on. So he is the offensive coordinator. They have a offensive line that has 5- and 6-year seniors, guys, 5- and 6-year seniors. And some of them are hurt, and they can't get this power running game going because they're not a power running game kind of an offensive line. Impose your will, you know, grind it out down in the trenches. You know, they're used to this pass-happy offense that Mark Whipple had last year, and that's what their major problem is. And this Keaton Slovis, you know, Pat Narduzzi, the head coach, he keeps on bringing in these guys from USC like Keaton Slovis. He brought in Max Brown. Max Brown was hurt the day he got here. He played one game, and he stunk, and now Keaton Slovis is stinking up the joint. So I just don't know. You know, Pitt's going to have to either get they're going to have to do something at quarterback. There's a lot of things they have to do. And a guy who's been coaching for 8 years in college football keeps saying every time they lose, we have to coach better. How much more better do you have to coach? Smoking Jim?
Hey, Ralph is right on as usual. You know what, Pitt, they brought back their offense and defensive line. They brought back a lot of experience, a lot of outstanding players. And like Ralph said, you got to get the quarterback position right. Don't forget, this is a team that should have beat Tennessee, the third-best team in the country. And for some reason, they're still highly valued with the bookies because they're favored to beat Syracuse this week. So people keep buying Pitt, but I just don't think they have it in them this year.
Well, you know what? I got this to say about that, Smoking Jim. The only reason Syracuse is underdog in this game because they lost last week to Notre Dame. If they didn't lose to Notre Dame and Clemson, I think they'd be favored to beat Pitt this week. I'm still sticking with Syracuse because they have a good team this year. They've beaten everybody else, but we'll see what happens. I've seen teams collapse in the second half, and Syracuse might be one of them. And I tell you what, if they don't do something this year, Dino Babers is out of a job because Syracuse has had enough up there.
Good point. Good point, Ralph.
You guys bring up some interesting points. I want to get to some of these questions that are coming in. We got Darren coming in from, I don't know, what part of Schenectady, New York? I can't really pronounce it. I don't want to butcher it. But breaking news, Kyrie Irving just got suspended 5 games. He said, any take on that? He said, it's pretty interesting, you know, how, you know, the players will always back, you know, when things don't go right. But when Kyrie makes statements like that, not one player came up and said, hey, that's wrong of you to do that. Interesting things across the board here. But we'll start with you, Smoking Jim, Kyrie Irving. You know, here's a guy, when I looked at Cleveland, I said to myself, God, you can win titles with LeBron James. Then he goes to Boston, and then we see the problems there. Now Brooklyn's just been a big mess. Wants to come out to Los Angeles. He took a stance with the vaccine, you know, rightfully so. People can do whatever they want on that medical choice. But then to come out and make statements like this now, it's Brooklyn basically said enough's enough. And you've seen this week they've canned Steve Nash. Doesn't look like it's getting better in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I mean, they got a lot of talent, and you know, Kyrie is a controversial guy, and I'm kind of surprised. I'm not shocked to see the suspension, but I'm surprised that it came so late. I thought if they were going to do something, they would have acted on it pretty quickly, but you know, the NBA don't want to lose advertisements and commercials and endorsements, so they had to take a stance. And I don't think he's arguing again. I don't think he'll argue or, you know, try to, you know, get that sentence, that suspension reduced. So.
Yeah, that's the thing when you look at it. And my whole take is I think the league has changed since the Bird and Magic era. I think now when you look at it, there's hardly been defense being played in the league. You're not seeing teams dominate. The only one you really see is the Golden State Warriors. Maybe we need a team in Pittsburgh. I know we had the Pittsburgh Condors there. Maybe that'll help across the board.
Say Pittsburgh, Mark. You forgot about that.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Pythons and the Pisces.
Yeah, that would be something to say. As we get flowing with the stuff, I think the guys. I mean, you might have heard this. The Pirates might be looking back at Jameson Taillon again. Doesn't look like the Yankees will re-sign him. And boy, I think Pittsburgh needs a front line starter to anchor those young arms. And let's face it, they're a year out. I mean, really of doing damage in the National League Central. Any thoughts on this, Ralph? We'll give it over to Smoke and Jim.
Yeah, the Pirates recently, the GM Ben Cherington, had a press conference a few weeks back, and he said that they're going after two experienced starters this year, at least for the starting rotation. And then he said that if they do go pursue some of these great, better starting pitchers, they're not going to just sign them to one-year deals. They're going to sign them to like two to five or more years, because he said he's tired of giving up these one-year or giving them these one-year deals, and then he has to trade them off for players. I think this is the year that Ben Cherington's stockpiled the minor league system now. I think the minor league system's starting to, it's fifth in Major League Baseball. It's starting to become better than what it was. I mean, the former GM we had, Neil Huntington, drained our minor league system out. He traded all the players away, brought in bums, and, you know, so what I'm saying is Ben Cherington is sort of right at this ship a little bit. Now he has to build on bringing in some veterans. That's what this team was lacking this entire year. Veterans in the pitching staff, veterans on the field. They need some guys that can push some of these young kids a little bit more than what's happening.
Smoking Jim?
Hey, ditto to what Ralph said. I couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah,
well,
see,
you've been around long enough to know,
you guys, you need a leader, not just the coaches. You need somebody in the clubhouse. You need a whole bunch of that stuff. And we Pirates don't have that. They have a bunch of young guys there, and nobody's leading. And that's what the problem is. And Ben Cherington came out and admitted it. Now, I have the winter meetings coming up in November. We'll find out what's going on. Maybe some trades made. Maybe some stuff happened. We'll find out. I think the Pirates are going to do a little bit okay next year. A little bit better. I'm thinking baby steps. I'm not, you know, World Series or anything, but I'm thinking baby steps next year.
Well, let's talk about the World Series. In yesterday, I've been blessed enough in baseball to see a perfect game and a no-hitter. And almost a second no-hitter. And, you know, you can see 5,000 games and not see that. But the second one was thrown last night in the World Series. The first was 1956. Don Larson did it. Were you surprised? And Houston has done this before where, you know, it's been a quartet of guys coming in. They've done it to the Yankees twice on a combined no-hitter, and now they do it to the Phillies. When you get a guy that's throwing a game like that, I know Dusty Baker, and I'm not going to question him because he's been in the game a long time, and he's got a lot of experience and knowledge. But, Ralph, would you pull somebody like that instead of turning it over to the bullpen? That's pretty ballsy, if you ask me, to take that out of the guy's hands and turn it over. I mean, chances are this guy wouldn't be able to pitch probably for a game seven, but still, even if he went the distance to throw a no-hitter like Don Larson instead of a combined, that would be something.
Yeah, well, Mark, you know, it's all about analytics now, guys. It's all about that, okay? How much the pitch count is, you know, when you get to 100 pitches, they take them out. So let's say they get 100 pitches and they get jammed up. They keep getting men on base, but then they're striking guys out. And, you know, the pitch count gets up to 100 after three or four innings. They're immediately taking these guys out. There's no more 7-8 inning games anymore, Mark. How many have you seen probably guys in the last 3 years or 10 years even or 5 years? Not many, because there's too much analytics involved in this, okay? Oh, well, we can't keep this guy in here too long because he don't pitch well against left-handers, so we're going to take him out, you know. But, you know, that's the way it is, and it's no pun intended because of my show. That's the way I see it, Smoking Jim.
I like that. Hey, Mark, I've never seen a no-hitter, but I was blessed to see Roberto Clemente's 3,000 hit. I was in the stadium that day, and I believe that was his, the last hit of his career. So I did witness that, and that was as good as, almost as good or better than any no-hitter.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, and when you look at it, it's amazing to say the least. And, you know, you guys would get a kick out of it. The other day I was wearing, my buddy sent me a T-shirt out of Boston, and it, on the front of it, it says the 1982 snowplow game. And it has a bulldozer on it with a Patriot riding a tractor. And I remember 1982. That was the one where they tried to clear the field to beat the Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember that game.
Wow.
That was crazy, that game.
Get a lot of chuckles when you walk around with something like that, but unbelievable. As we get into the things, and we're throwing a lot of things on there, it's a throwdown on Thursdays and the Wrestle Talk across the country. So whatever, you know, you guys want to talk about, bring it to the table. I will tell you this, Smoking Jim, and I thought of you last night. We got to get you in that Tampa show. Man, oh, man, and Ralph, be my witness on this one. I said the two most impressive things that WWE and NXT has done to resurrect guys and careers or women or whatever had to be the head of the table and Roman Reigns, who had no mic skills, but boy, he learned them pretty quick being the heel like this. He set the bar with that. And Mandy Rose has set the bar in NXT with women, man.
Yes, she did.
Any thought to that, Ralph and Jim? Go for it.
Yeah, let me tell you, you're not wrong on that. I mean, I remember when Roman Reigns was in the Shield and hardly said anything. And, you know, John Moxley, well, he was Dean Ambrose at the time, did a lot of talking. Seth Rollins always has been a good mic guy. But when they were the Shield, Roman Reigns hardly said anything. And then even when he was a babyface, he really didn't talk too much. And then when he came out and said that he had leukemia again and gave us his real name, that was the most I ever seen him speak. You know, so did you ever watch the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield? Remember when the girl says to him,
yes,
oh,
yes.
That's the most you ever said since I've seen you here or something. So it's the same thing with Roman Reigns, you know, and things like that. I'm sorry. I apologize. My dog's growling here. Hey.
Yeah, that happens. Maybe he likes Roman Reigns now, too.
Don't you growl it. The sad part about all this is he's growling at my mom. That's the sad part about this. Hey, don't you growl at Grandma like that. Don't you dare. Wow.
Well, Ralph breaks it down. Any thought to what Mandy Rose is doing there in NXT, Smoking Jim?
Well, I tell you what, You know, I love me some Mandy Rose, and I tell you what, I always figured I had a shot at her when she was dating Otis.
All right.
I figured I had a shot when she was dating Otis, but while she took it to a whole nother level, I mean, her, you know, she does the modeling and the bikini shots and just the look that she has when she's walking, you know, towards the stage and everything. She's really something special. I was telling Ralph the other day ago, I wouldn't be surprised if they wrote a storyline with her and Braun Breaker getting together, maybe.
You know,
that's just something that I was thinking that may happen, two superstars over in NXT. But, yeah, Mandy Rose, she took her game to a whole nother level. Congratulations, 1 year anniversary of being the champ.
Oh, absolutely. One thing I do want to mention, guys, and I forgot to mention earlier, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Carmella, who's married to Corey Graves, his real name is James Polinski. Anyway,
right.
Carmella had a miscarriage last week, and I was real surprised to see Corey Graves on Raw on Monday night because she just had a miscarriage. And I guess maybe he seemed like he was kind of in a distracted, miserable type of mood. I mean, he's like that quite a lot, but not as much as since he's been married to Carmella. He seems, you know, he wasn't his normal cracking jokes and stuff. He seemed like he was in a bad mood. And I guess I could see it in his face that he was devastated about Carmella having a miscarriage. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that. You know,
I didn't know that, but
I wish
thanks
him well
for bringing that up to us.
I mean,
you know, because, yeah, that is devastating, you know.
Hey, Mark, hey, Mark.
Yes.
Corey's from my hometown and went to the same high school I went to, and his parents still lived in Monroeville. And during the pandemic, they was visiting his parents a lot, and I seen Carmella quite a few times, and TV don't do her justice, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, and we could, you know, we can break this down, you know, with, and this is an interesting one because I want to get to this guy's comments. Bill brings up an interesting thing, and he's coming out of Shaker Heights, Ohio. Bill, welcome to the show. He says, guys. Man, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of good wrestlers that come out of Pittsburgh, kind of like fighters that come out of Massachusetts and Philadelphia. And he's right. He's stringing some together here. He goes Shane Douglas, Bruno Sammartino, Kurt Angle, Elias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's bringing some guys in here. So that's interesting to know. I think there's another girl in there that's from Pittsburgh, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Britt Baker. Dr. Britt Baker.
Yep.
She lives up in Mercer, or Meadville, up in Meadville, PA.
Yeah.
And she is actually a dentist, and she has, she lives in Pittsburgh. She went to the University of Pittsburgh Dental School, and I know a guy who goes to my church who's a professor there, and he said he knows Britt Baker. So... you know, and she has up in Meadville and Mercer County and some other places around town. She has some actual dental places. She's actually a dentist. She just does wrestling part time.
Hey, Ralph.
So,
hey, Ralph.
Yes.
Ralph, you know, the new young blonde with Chase University on NXT. She's from Plum High School.
18. Oh, yeah. That's another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else was from Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, that would be a good one to get on.
Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty on AEW. He's from Pittsburgh. And he was in ROH.
Yeah.
And then he came, because I remember seeing him when he was with ROH when I used to do security for ROH events here in Pittsburgh. And, Lee Moriarty's from Pittsburgh, too. He's in AEW now.
Is Elias's brother from Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Yeah, Elias's brother is
One thing I'll give Corey Graves credit for, he says, I wonder if we're going to see Elias or if we're going to see Ezekiel come out and play a guitar next week or something. That, he said that last week. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
You see, Riddle came out with the shorts from Ezekiel shorts on.
Well, now we've got some guys coming in here, and I don't want to shortchange him. Carl coming in. He's coming in from Louisiana. He said Matt Riddle's from Pennsylvania, guys. Did you know that?
No,
I did not.
Wow.
No. I know he lives in Las Vegas, but I didn't know he was from PA. So. Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I had no idea Matt Riddle was from there. I thought for sure he was a New York guy.
Yeah, so did I. And then, I know he lives in Vegas right now. He's had some domestic issues.
I wonder if Honey Badger's from Pennsylvania. Honey Badger?
Oh, yeah. Larry Zbysko, he's from Pittsburgh. Remember him?
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah.
He was
you guys remember Stacy Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was from there too.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's a lot of. Yeah, I didn't know Corey Graves till you just brought that one up. Smoking Jim. I didn't know Corey Graves was from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, he's from Dodge Country, Monroeville.
Yeah. Where's Mount Levo standing at?
That's where Kurt Angle's from. Kurt Angle's from Mount Levo.
Mount Levo, yeah. Mount Levo. Hey, as we get, we're last 10 minutes of the show, 9 minutes of the show. Jim, we talked about last night. We started it off today. I'm not a big fan of this, and I'd like to get your input on it. Ralph laid it out. If I'm in the WWE and they're in the Saudi Arabia, I'm basically saying, you know what, deduct the money, do whatever you want. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm looking at safety over the money. What's your take on this?
Well, I'll let you know right here, personal experience. We brought in 2017, after 60 years, we brought the Cuban national team to fight Team USA in Pittsburgh. I did the broadcast for boxing, and 6 million people in Cuba watched it. They liked it so much, they invited everybody that was part of the broadcast and the fighters over to fight in Cuba. 49 out of 50 people went. I'm the only one that didn't go. I don't play around, brother, going out of the country. Like you said, safety over money. Always, man.
Hey, Smoke.
No, I'm a big believer. I am definitely a big believer in that. You know, I'm not doing it either.
Oh, I wouldn't go out of the country. But you said it last night, Mark. Other than Niagara Falls or Canada, you wouldn't go out of the country if they gave you $1 million.
Yeah.
That's what he said last
night
on Blake's show.
Basically, hey guys, the way I look at it is, I'm only going to Canada if I'm going foreign on this thing, because I just look at this and I say to myself, I don't think you can trust, you know, the protection in that country. You're not in the States. We've seen with Greer now in Russia. I think you're at their mercy. I mean, look at how many months they've been trying to get her out of Russia, and they can't seem to succeed on that.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I have an easy solution to that problem, Mark.
Yeah.
And it's an easy solution, and I wish the president would have the stones to do it. What you do?
Yeah, I can kind of figure what that. Yeah.
Well, you find out where she is. You send SEAL Team 6 over there to go get her and rescue her, and then when Putin makes a squawk about it, you just tell him where to eat it. That's what I would do.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very surprised they haven't made a move on that to get her out of there. I really am. I mean, you know, everything can be political here, but I'm just amazed that nothing's been transpiring. I thought she would have been home by now.
Yes, so did I. And I have this to say, and I would never thought. Go ahead, Smoking Jim.
Yeah, she'll be home in 9 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing to look at. Okay, we've reached that time again. What's on your mind? We'll start with you, Ralph. We'll give it over to Jim, and then I'll throw some.
Oh, Mark. Man, I don't know, man. Something stink. Oh, you know what it is? It's the Pittsburgh teams. They all stink. Pitt stinks. The Steelers stink. The Penguins stink. The Pirates stink. The only team that don't stink is our USL soccer team, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. At least they made it to the second round of the playoffs. At least they don't stink. But, I got to tell you, man, that odor. Oh, it stinks so bad. Oh, it's terrible. I can't stand it anymore. Oh, this is the worst I've ever seen Pittsburgh sports. Oh, it stinks.
Jim?
Well, I tell you what, Mark and Ralph, it was Red October when I was in Philadelphia because of the Phillies. Listen, nobody talked about the Eagles. It just showed you just the power, how powerful baseball used to be when it was the number one sport in the world. Man, the Philly fans came out. Tickets was going for $1,000, $2,000, man, people selling tickets for. Even President Biden's wife came for the game, man. And I tell you what, man, it was really – it made you really appreciate the game of baseball, how much the fans still love it. Red October.
You know what? Two things in baseball I need, the World Series and catch a foul ball. And you know what? If it wasn't so far away in both those cities, Philly and Houston, I got friends in both, that would have been nice to try to get out there. But you're right, the ticket prices. Hey, listen, I found out from my good friend Billy North, man, getting me an All-Star game ticket, and that's, I would think, harder to get than a World Series, because at least the World Series goes on, you know, at least seven games. An All-Star comes around once a year, and you never know, it could be decades before it gets back in the second biggest market like it did in Los Angeles. But, yeah, they are pricey, and I was willing to go if it went down into San Diego. I was willing to pull out the stops and, you know, start, you know, tagging some guys and saying, hey, I gotta get in there, man. But to get the airfare and everything going into Philly or Houston and then the hotels, that could really cost you a pretty penny.
Yeah, you got to take out a loan now, Mark. You know how it is.
Yeah. As we wrap this thing up, we'll start with you, Ralph. Let everybody know, you know, how they can get a hold of you and everything. And just take note to the listeners here that are listening tonight. Thanksgiving's show is no show on Thanksgiving. It falls on a Thursday. We will be doing it on the 23rd, the day before a Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern. So mark your calendars. I know it's 500 strong listening live every week, but mark your calendars. You'll be, you know, there'll be no show on Thanksgiving, a live show Wednesday the 23rd. So I'll give it back to you, Ralph.
All right. You can get a hold of me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Wimkin. And also, you can get a hold of me on my YouTube channel. I have a bunch of shows on there, archived, that I do. Smokin' Jim and I do Sports Corner, and we also do Talkin' Wrestling on YouTube and Facebook and Twitch. So there you are. And I would like to say thank you to those who are subscribing to my YouTube page. I gained 3 subscribers since last week. Thank you.
Smokin' Jim.
All right. Instagram, Smokin' Jim Frazier. Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Well, and you can get me all over the place. Mancini Media, LinkedIn, Instagram. You call it, you look at it, you see it around the horn in some of these great cities, WWDBAM860, the XM203 Series 217. And, man, I am so blessed to be a part of this one on the Throwdown on Thursdays, the Wrestle Talk, where we get a little bit of the wrestling going mixed in with the Pittsburgh sports. These listeners, 525 today, unbelievable, so blessed. They keep it consistent. And as we say goodnight to you guys all, make sure to keep notes on the Thanksgiving show. We'll move it up to the 23rd, the day before, 8 o'clock Eastern in Pittsburgh, 5 o'clock on the West Coast. Till next week, for
everybody,
Ralph Williams, Smokin' Jim Frazier in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Tell all your friends, keep an eye on this show. We're picking up steam.
Tell
Have a good one, guys. Stay tuned at the top of the hour. The crazy cooking show out of Indianapolis. John, Eli, Peggy, and Ray.
Recipe.
Yeah. Till then, good night, everybody.
Good night.